Support for KQED Podcasts comes from Star One Credit Union, now offering real-time money movement with Instant Pay. Make transfers and payments instantly between financial institutions. Online or through Star One's mobile app, Star One Credit Union, in your best interest. Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.
From KQED.
Support for this podcast comes from Too Far Media, immersive story experiences by Rich Shapiro, designed to change the way literature is experienced. Visit Too Far Media at toofarmedia.com/KQED.
From KQED.
This is the California Report. Good morning. I'm Lily Jamali. We begin with the latest on efforts to keep tenants who've lost income during the COVID-19 pandemic from also losing their homes. In Sacramento, the state legislature has until the end of today to approve a new statewide eviction moratorium introduced by Governor Gavin Newsom. KQED's Joe Fitzgerald Rodriguez reports.
Negotiations between lawmakers, landlord advocacy groups, and tenant advocacy organizations finished just under the wire on Friday. The new law would ban evictions for tenants who miss paying their rent due to pandemic-related hardships, like company layoffs or wage reductions. Those protections would largely be in place until the end of January. But the bill has some caveats. Tenants will have to swear under penalty of perjury that they're experiencing a hardship. Advocates say that may scare off undocumented immigrants and other vulnerable populations. Assemblymember David Chu said landlord organizations push for those tighter requirements.
We wanted more. We fought for more. Struggling tenants need more. This won't stop all evictions, and I'm deeply saddened by that. But this will prevent many evictions, and it'll delay even more.
A provision to help property owners by allowing late mortgage payments was also removed from the bill after pressure from the banking industry. Governor Gavin Newsom.
We were able to accommodate each other's points of view. Not everybody pleased with every detail. That's the nature of negotiation. But we did get an eviction deal done.
The eviction moratorium requires a two-thirds majority to pass, which will allow it to go into effect as soon as the governor signs it. For the California Report, I'm Joe Fitzgerald Rodriguez.
Staying in Sacramento, this weekend, state senators passed legislation that would require the state attorney general to investigate any time a police officer uses force that kills an unarmed person. The proposal is one of several police reform measures introduced across the country in response to the killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis. Attorney General Javier Becerra opposed an earlier version of the bill, calling it, quote, untenable and unreasonable. The bill now heads to the State Assembly, where lawmakers have until the end of today to approve it. Well, hot, dry weather is headed back to Northern California after last week's reprieve. As we hear from the California Report's Angela Corral, that could be bad news for firefighters who are still trying to gain control over several massive fires burning in the region.
Over the last few days, fire crews were able to take advantage of cooler temperatures and higher humidity, but that's about to change. The National Weather Service says a high-pressure system will keep air hot and dry for the next week or so. But forecasters say the good news is that winds should be minimal and there's unlikely to be a repeat of the lightning storms that sparked so many of the fires amid a record-breaking heat wave 2 weeks ago. Around the state, hundreds of wildfires have killed at least 7 people, burned more than 2,000 square miles, and pushed firefighter resources to the breaking point. For the California Report, I'm Angela Corral.
Let's go to Los Angeles now, where the city attorney has filed charges against 2 TikTok stars for allegedly throwing large parties during the pandemic. KPCC's Robert Garova has that story.
City Attorney Mike Feuer says TikTok stars Bryce Hall and Blake Gray violated both the municipal code and the Safer LA emergency declaration when they allegedly threw a rager at their Hollywood Hills rental home earlier this month.
If you have a combined 19 million followers on TikTok in the middle of a public health crisis, you should be modeling great behavior rather than brazenly violating the law.
Hall and Gray are facing misdemeanor charges. They cannot immediately be reached for comment. Mayor Garcetti ordered the power shut off at the house earlier this month. Hillside neighborhoods have for years struggled to control rowdy gatherings at so-called party houses. Some residents say the issue has gotten worse since the pandemic started. Fuhr also announced charges against two homeowners. He said the penalties for those cases could be up to a year in jail and thousands of dollars in fines. For the California Report, I'm Robert Garova in Los Angeles.
It has been almost 2 years since the Camp Fire raced through the Butte County town of Paradise. At least 85 people were killed, and the vast majority of homes and businesses there were destroyed. Now, rebuilding is underway, and community leaders are looking at new ideas to make sure how they rebuild will protect Paradise when the next wildfire comes. Think defensible space, but not just around an individual property, around the whole town. Reporter Laura Bliss wrote about the idea for Bloomberg City Lab.
City leaders and the community are kind of rethinking, okay, how do we use the entire town's kind of geography to create a safer form of paradise, so to speak? And so working with scientists at the Nature Conservancy and the Conservation Biology Institute, the Paradise Recreation and Park District has put together this really interesting plan that basically models what would it be like if we created a greenbelt around the city to create a buffer from future wildfires.
In your piece, you talk about how one of the complications of a greenbelt is that there isn't a lot of science regarding how effective they are in remediation. What are officials in Paradise doing or preparing to do when it comes to selling this idea to their community?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, it's this kind of, one of the people I talked to called it this funny combination of common sense, but not a lot of backup. And that's really because there just haven't been that many or really any that I could find green belts, you know, specifically built for this idea. But what there are fuel breaks galore, right? And, you know, there's this concept of defensible space that's very well proven. So, you know, I think they're really leaning on those really well-established concepts. And then they've also developed some really interesting models that show how specific to Paradise, you know, changing the kind of landscape and land use on certain properties would reduce fire risk in some of the most vulnerable parts of town.
You know, historically, Paradise has been a place that people could afford to live in. That's why so many people moved there. As you explore this idea of rebuilding, what concerns do people have about, you know, the future of this town and who's moving in and who's moving out?
Yeah, it's a really interesting question. An April 2019 survey of Paradise residents found that only about 50% said that they were really sure about wanting to come back to town. For longtime residents, there's just still this really lasting trauma related to the fire that seems to really be overriding everything else. And I think they just want to see their town, you know, go back to the way it used to be. And so, you know, this greenbelt, I think for those who are in the process of selling their land or who are kind of supporting the idea are largely excited about the idea of, you know, a safer, greener paradise and one that could even potentially be, you know, a model for something good for the rest of the state rather than this kind of, you know, namesake of this really, really awful event.
All right. Laura Bliss, a reporter with Bloomberg City Lab. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And that is the California Report for this Monday, August 31st. I'm Lily Jamali, celebrating 2 years today at KQED, getting to bring you the news here on the California Report. If memory serves, I don't think we've ever had a slow news day during that time. As always, thank you for listening. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Support for the California Report comes from Paint Care. Ideas for storing leftover paint to keep it fresh and tips for using it up can be found at paintcare.org. Water Heaters Only, specializing in the repair and replacement of water heaters since 1968, licensed and insured, open 24 hours a day every day. Learn more at waterheatersonly.com. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose philanthropy harnesses the power of people and science to create innovative solutions for a healthy environment, just societies, and opportunities for human achievement.
Do you love your local bookstore? Well, I have the perfect event for you. This Saturday, April 27th, is Independent Bookstore Day. It's a day to celebrate your favorite local bookstore. I'm Olivia Allen Price, host of the Bay Curious podcast here at KQED, and I'm popping in to let you know that we will be hosting an event at Green Apple Books in San Francisco for the occasion. Come out for an author Q&A about the Bay Curious book. We'll be playing some Bay Area-themed trivia. There will be prizes and so much more. And the best part, tickets are donation-based, and all proceeds go to the Prisoners Literature Project. Learn more at kqed.org/live. I hope to see you there.
Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply, not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.